This is the Science of Deliberate Creation, and this tape, entitled Sexuality, is the second tape of a 10-tape album. And this album, Special Subjects Volume 2, was recorded by Abraham in 1991. Recorded and printed Abraham Hicks materials are copyrighted by Jerry and Esther Hicks, and the unauthorized duplication of this cassette is strictly prohibited. Our primary intent with this work is to connect with those who are attracting this information, and your purchase of these materials fulfills that intention. Plus, you also help us to afford the means to connect with other seekers, and Esther and I are most appreciative of your role in this joyous growth experience. For additional tapes, books, catalogs, or to reserve your space at an Abraham Hicks Science of Deliberate Creation workshop, please call 755-2299, area code 830, or write to Abraham Hicks Publications at Post Office Box 690070, San Antonio, Texas. And the zip code is 78269. Also, for an immediate overview of our works, visit our interactive website at www.abraham-hicks.com.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are pleased to continue our conversation, and today we are upon the new topic of sexuality.
Mm-hmm. And sensuality.
You are wanting to begin? You have something you are wanting to ask about?
Well, I'll just... Yeah, sure. As far as the subject's concerned, my first memories, conscious memories, are I was 2 years old, and I'd a little girl and I were playing in a wooden box, and we had our pants off. I had her pants off, and she had mine off. There were panties and diapers, I guess, practically in those days. And we both got really punished for it. And that was my first experience of the negativity toward the attitude of anything sexual. And then the next remembrances I have are my mother and father arguing back and forth about it. Mother feeling that once she had her three children, that's all the sex that she wanted to perform. And it was fine with her if Daddy would go find another woman. She'd always say, find some other woman. She didn't care about that, but not her. You know, and so through that. And then the next thing began with just the little children. All of us and the ones I knew were having sexual experiences with one another. The little boys and the little girls doing this and that and the other thing. And then the little boys with the animals on the farm and that sort of thing. It all just kind of progressed along the way. And then as I moved into an era of accountability, then I remember my concerns and fears and inhibitions were so strong that I just would do anything to avoid the topic. And even as an adult, I couldn't use the word sex in front of anyone or never talked about it. And then later, I all the barriers went down, and so I feel I moved into a very, very joyous, normal, or not about normal, but happy experience. And so from my opinion and from my experience, I see that all around me continually. People aren't having the amount of joy in the life that they could have if they could have some different understanding, so they could have some different, or at least a different experience with the sexual aspects of their physical beings. And so what I was hoping to do with this tape is to evoke from you another perspective, so that we can all understand this a little better, so we won't have that feeling about the inhibitions. We'll feel right about doing what we feel right about doing. Does that make sense?
It does. It is a very broad subject, even though it seems not so broad, in the sense that we are wanting to assist you, all of you, in understanding what is at the root of your extreme discomfort regarding the topic.
Mm-hmm.
Most of you, as you emerged into your physical environment, found yourself surrounded by those who were extremely guarded even before you got there.
Right.
The majority of those surrounding you, not knowing who they are, not feeling their own personal power, and as a result of that lack of feeling of security and strength and power, coming from perspectives of lack and insecurity. Most of them held a very guarded stance. And as you emerged, the newest and the most vulnerable because of your size and newness, they commenced to speak to you in terms of all of the things that you must guard against. Man's inherent nature is not one of guardedness. In other words, if that were the case, none of you would have ever emerged forth into this wondrous, new, but very unknown physical experience. You would not have come forth at all if from your non-physical perspective you were as guarded as you are from your physical perspective. And so you perpetuate among one another, from your feeling of powerlessness and from your attention to lack, a sense that all is not well, a sense that there are monsters of all sorts that are out there that you must guard and protect yourself against. We believe that the topic of sexuality or sensuality is perhaps the most pointed topic to help you understand your position of guardedness and defensiveness, rather than your position of just allowing good things to come unto you. If you understood the true nature of your beings, which is to attract all that you give thought to, and if you were able to control your thoughts, you would not be guarded against anything. You would be blissfully moving forward. If you were able to control your thoughts, as well as you are in many cases able to control your actions. Most of you do not eat things you don't like to eat. Most of you would not wear things that you do not like to wear. You would not drive cars that are offensive to you. And yet you allow yourselves to entertain thoughts that are not in harmony with what you want. And so what we are getting at here is, as you come to understand that you are the creator or the attractor of your experience, and that you have control over all things that you attract because you get to choose what you think about, then this position of guardedness would be softened, and you would not find yourself worrying about all of the negative possibilities, because you would understand that the negative possibilities are no more numerous than the positive possibilities. And that as you are giving attention to the positive possibilities, you will be the attractor of more of them. And so what is at the root of your confusion regarding sexuality is your confusion about your own personal power.
Sure. But I also want to understand. I remember as my years went by, I was wanting to understand what was natural for me and what might be natural for most of us. In other words, what might go against the higher laws as I saw them. For instance, as I looked around and began to read books and study on different cultures around the world, it seemed like every culture, no matter how primitive or how so-called advanced, they all had taboos, rules that contained or controlled the newer people, as you say, coming in regarding sex. And so I wondered if maybe did we bring any of that from our higher knowing? In other words, is there any of that that is given to us, that information from our, let's say, our inner beings?
It is not coming from your inner beings or from your higher knowing or from non-physical. It is a product of your physical vulnerability. In other words, without exception, every law, religious or political, that has been offered for the legislating of sexual behavior comes from a perspective of lack, comes from a position of trying to protect or guard someone from something. That is the reason that all of your laws exist, no matter what the nature. You see some sort of problem, and then in your attempt to fix the problem, you organize some sort of law. Now, if you were really paying attention to what is happening in the offering of all of these laws, you would recognize that the law does not keep the one who is the breaker of the law from breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
It restricts those who have a very strong decision to be law-abiding citizens. It is very curtailing for those who are seeking approval of the society. But those who are not seeking the approval of the society and those who have no interest in being law-abiding citizens pay no attention to the law. And so the law becomes something that restricts the freedom or at least adds confusion in the lives of those who seek to conform or seek approval from society, but it has absolutely no effect on those freewheeling beings who have no interest in pleasing any of the others anyway. Can you hear the bird? That is a very sexual call. In other words, he is making a statement of appreciation to his mate,
mm-hmm.
wherever and whoever she may be. A moment ago, the rooster was crowing so loud that we considered not continuing the recording.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, your world is filled with beings who are all receiving direction from non-physical. And yet it is only the humans who are guarded regarding the subject of sexuality. It is only the humans who are coming from this extreme place of lack regarding the subject of sexuality. And from your perspective of lack, from your concern that you may be doing something wrong, from your concern that has been fostered within you from those who have gone before, you are, most of you, in a place of great confusion, not very much joy.
Okay, so then there are no rules from the other dimension telling us how to behave sexually here in physical form. And so from that, we're born into physical form not knowing any rules then because we weren't sent in with them. So that's why the children and the younger people often behave so what we feel is loosely and unguardedly. And so as a result, those of us who are adults tend to begin to guard and control and try to turn them away from that taking off a little girl's pants when they're 2 years old sort of thing.
You did not come knowing rules, but you certainly came feeling impulses. In other words, just as you have impulse to drink when you are thirsty, to keep your body replenished, or to eat when you are hungry, to keep your body fueled, so the sensation or the urging of sexuality comes forth for the perpetuation of the species upon your planet. Does not mean that the urge is only for that, but it is part of that instinctual knowing that you came forth into this experience with. We are wanting to talk about something very basic here.
Mm-hmm.
Physical man is very much wanting to be good. And because he wants to be good, most of you would like it very much, or you think you would like it very much, if there were a giant right and wrong written in the sky somewhere. You do not trust your ability to decide what is right or wrong,
mm-hmm.
and you really think that it would be easier if there were someone else that would tell you, and then all you would have to do is to conform to this giant rule. Now, we are knowing that while you think that is something that you are wanting, it is really not something that you are wanting because it would step all over your toes of freedom and it would defy your very reasons for existence. You are not here as regurgitators. You're not here to be puppets just to act out some set of rules that someone else has decided. You are here as creators, you see. But because man has not yet discovered his own guidance system, because he believes more in his imperfection than in his perfection, he does not trust that guidance and therefore has not looked for it for a very long time and is rather easily led by others who are stronger, who will say, this is something that is right or this is something that is wrong. The trouble with all of that is who gets to choose what is right or wrong, or who gets to choose who gets to decide what is right and wrong. Every interpretation of that which is considered to be God is different.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the same time upon your planet, there are many different offerings coming forth. And when you try to take all that you have in your recorded history and bring it back from all the different places, offered under all sorts of different circumstances and events, and then you try to wedge it into what you are living, it becomes a very complicated and very unsatisfactory sort of guidance. And all of these rules and laws have been created from a perspective of lack. You observe someone or many someones in your society doing that which you think is a threat to you, and out of your fear of not wanting it to spread, you, from your position of lack, orchestrate some sort of legislation to stop it. The trouble with that is that it is a hindering factor to your society at large. As you want to control the behavior of some who are performing things that you're not wanting them to perform, you also restrict the behavior of those who would not.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, those who are not abiding by the laws that you have in existence now are the ones that you are creating the new laws for, and they do not abide by those laws either.
Correct.
And the end result is that those of you who are wanting to be free find yourself wrapped around in a never-ending tangle of laws and red tape, while those who you made the law to contain to begin with are not hindered at all by the law, for they disobey that law and ignore it as they have all others that have come before. Oftentimes your laws are orchestrated, in fact almost all times, because some of you want to control others of you. And those of you who are most freedom seekers find yourself very uncomfortable under those conditions, and well you should.
Mm-hmm.
What you are seeking is your own guidance system. That's what you've been looking for all along. In your quest to be uplifter, in your quest to do that which you consider to be right, what you are wanting to find is that guidance system that is within you. But most of you do not realize that it is there. You've been so convinced of your unworthiness and your vulnerability or your lack of ability that most of you are looking outside of yourself. And so we would say that it is your feeling of lack of worthiness that causes others to come forth and to create for you their version of what you should or should not do.
Right.
You are all co-creators in this tangled web that you are all working upon mm-hmm. together. You emerged into this physical body in this time and place very specifically to be the creator of your own experience. So many of our physical friends seem to think that that which is God or that which is non-physical is complete and in its perfection is sitting there with its feet dangling over the cloud waiting for you who are physical and unworthy and unknowing to somehow try to catch up. And we are wanting you to know that it is absolutely not that way. You are upon the leading edge of thought. You have come forth into this magnificent physical experience intending to chew upon the new data of this time and place and to move beyond that which has ever been before. You said, I will go forth and I will become familiar with the data of this time and place, and then I will, from the data that I've collected, make decisions about what it is that I am choosing among it. And I will allow my broader guidance system to come forth to guide me from my broader perspective so that I will add unto that which I am.
Yes, continuing on a little bit with the animals. For instance, my rooster and his interaction with the hens, as I observe them, is more or less a standardized operation. And in other words, they have no laws or rules that they set for them. It's just what comes from within them. And so if we could be born into this planet and start fresh like that without rules, we could operate from this inner being totally, at least without any feeling of restrictions, but we're not that way. We're born into societies and cultures that already have rules and regulations. So my question to you is, how can we balance this innate, or what I'll call a natural drive toward our sexual experiences, balance it against the unnatural mores or the rules or the regulations that have been propagated among our associates in this culture that we've come, that we're sharing in?
We are appreciating very much your observation of your beasts, because they are pure essence of being. In other words, you are right. They are not hindered by the laws and mm-hmm. rules that are offered with such variety that you are hindered with. Instead, they are responding from their pure essence, from their broader knowing. Not all of the beliefs that you hold are detrimental to your experience, but you have so many beliefs that are not even in harmony with one another as you have been collecting and gathering data from here and from there. And those beliefs that are not in harmony with each other, or those beliefs that are not in harmony with your desires, result in a sort of splitting in your energy. You feel it as a resistance. And mm-hmm. so very often you take your action from that place of resistance, or from that place of not being in balance, where the animals that you are describing mm-hmm. are not having that experience. They are, when we say they are operating from the pure essence of their beingness, what we are meaning is that all of their thought is going in one direction, mm-hmm. and so they are very much in the flow. And that is what all of you are seeking. It is just that you do not know how to go about it.
Right.
Let us say that you are born into a culture that has very explicit ideas about sex. Not everyone agrees, but the majority have a rather clear idea of how you should behave regarding mm-hmm. this topic. And you hear them, and you respect them, you are law-abiding and all of that, but you find that your natural urge does not agree. That urge is a desire. And when your desire and your beliefs are going in two different directions, it is frustrating to you. In fact, it feels as if there is a tug of war going on inside. And truly, there is. To resolve this, what we would encourage is that you find your balance, or make a decision that you're wanting to find your balance. And you do that by not trying to figure out what to do. That is on the outside fringe of all of this. But instead, you give your attention to how you are wanting to feel. The center of your being is the way you are feeling mm-hmm. or being. And so we would encourage you to stop and ponder. I am wanting to do that which is good. That is what most of you are seeking. And I'm wanting to be an uplifter. I'm wanting to be in alignment with that which I consider to be good. Now, once you have made that statement, which is at the very core of your being, then contemplate the action that you are considering. And if that action brings forth within you, or the contemplation of it brings forth within you, a feeling of frustration, then we would encourage you not to move forward in your action. In other words, listen to your guidance. We never encourage that you move forward from the position of frustration or from the position of negative emotion, because you are out of balance, and that action is only going to take you further out of balance.
So what if the thought of the action feels very good, but the thought of someone else's judgment about the action doesn't feel good? Then what would you suggest?
Now you are off the track again. Now you are trying to utilize all of the laws or all of the approval that is set up by your society to guide you.
Yeah.
And that never works.
Okay.
You see, if you are in a very small community or surrounded only by your parents, perhaps you could find your peace under that sort mm-hmm. of thing. But the broader your experience and the more exposure you have to more ideas, then the more confusing it is and the more difficult it is to find approval in your society. Because your society is always, or different segments of your society are always looking at things in different ways. And we're wanting to reemphasize that the majority of what your society believes you should do has not come from your society wanting you to have joy or growth or freedom. It has come from your society's fear that your action may somehow step upon its toes, mm-hmm. you see. And so it is necessary for you to find your peace regarding anything, to set aside your wanting to find approval from others
okay.
and your seeking approval from self.
Okay.
You're seeking your own guidance from yourself. And the way you go about that is starting from the inside mm-hmm. out. Acknowledging that you want to feel good, and acknowledging that you're wanting to have a life experience that is in harmony with your idea of what good is. And if you start there, it is our absolute promise to you that you will never find yourself in a situation where the action that you are experiencing or even contemplating will put you in a position of feeling that you have betrayed your own sense of right and wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as our culture and the way I read it, my understanding of it is, it's the feeling is that the higher levels of it all, we have what you might call the priest, the high priest, who doesn't engage in sex. And next in line would be, say, the common folk that engage in sex, but only for the purpose of creating children or babies. And then the lower end of the hierarchy would be those who would engage in sex for pleasure. In other words, that part of it. And but if, as far as I'm concerned also, it seems to me that in all of us, we have all of that, some of all of that. For instance, there's a part of me that...
But what we are wanting you to understand about that is that those ideas come from lack.
Mm.
Those ideas come from man believing in his unworthiness. In other words, believing that he is here to struggle and to prove himself worthy of something else. What we are wanting you to hear from us is that your physical life experience is a life of sensuality. In other words, you come forth into this physical realm with the sensual eyes to see with, and the sensual ears to hear with, and the sensual nose to smell with, and the sensual skin to feel with, and the sensual tongue to taste with. Everything about your physical experience is sensual.
Mm-hmm.
And it is only in this physical environment that you have that keen sense of sensuality, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is for the enhancement of your physical experience. All that there is to have and all that there is to do is all for the enhancement of your beingness, you see. And that is why we keep hammering away at the idea that rather than taking action out here on the peripheral and trying to figure out your harmony there, if you will come inward and identify how you are wanting to feel first and letting all of the other it extend outward from that, then you will always be in balance.
Mm-hmm.
We are not able to pinpoint the turning point where physical man stopped believing in his value and in his worthiness. It is our knowing that it was a rather long transitional thing as one felt critical of himself or others and fostered it in the others. But this feeling of unworthiness is running rampant upon your planet. And so much that you do comes from that very severe place of lack. And we could liken the non-physical realm from which you have emerged as like a very broad spectrum of light. And when you take a broad spectrum of light and you make it very pointed and very specific, it is very powerful, such as in your laser or in even a magnifying glass. And that is what your physical life experience brings to all that is. It is a very pointed experience where you can take the broadness of your knowing and funnel it or focus it very specifically into this time and this place. And as you do that, as you live here in these physical bodies, you are literally adding unto all that is. Friends, it is our absolute promise to you that if you have identified that what you want to do is that which is uplifting, that what you want to be is that which is joyful and that which is loving and that which is godlike, as you identify that that is what you are wanting to be and that which you are wanting to radiate, it is our absolute promise to you that you will never be able to take action that is contrary to that without feeling very strong negative emotion within you. Some would say to us, Abraham, then the feeling of guilt that I have, that must mean that I'm doing something evil. And what we are wanting you to understand is that the feeling of guilt is negative emotion. And what negative emotion means is that that which you are wanting and that which you are believing is not in harmony. In this case, you are wanting to be that which is uplifting. You are wanting to be that which is good. And you have this desire for some sort of sexual encounter. But your belief tells you that the sexual encounter that you are engaging in will put you in a place where you are not good. And so what we are wanting you to understand is that it does not mean that you are not good. It means that somewhere along the line you have picked up pieces of information that do not fit together.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what you were talking about, worrying about what others are thinking about it. Usually, by the time you've spent a few years in your body, 50 or 60 or 70, you come to the very great awareness that you cannot please them all. In fact, you usually come to the awareness that you can't please very many of them because all of them are wanting something different mm-hmm. from you. What we are emphasizing here is that you may trust your inner guidance.
Mm.
In fact, we encourage that that is the only thing that you really can trust, because it is only you who knows the current intentions that you hold. It is only you that understands the set of beliefs that you currently hold. And it is only you who has access to your broader guidance, which brings all of that together, you see.
So as I was, in the direction I was moving earlier, in other words, if we kind of narrow this down, each of us have, I feel, all of this within us, this innate urge to procreate, and this innate desire to enjoy the sensuality and the feel of things, and also this wanting to create in thought also. But that's ourselves. But then sexuality is a co-creation. In other words, it's two people. But then what happens is the two people, the individuals, are changing as they're moving through time. And so we have, I think, the conflict in many people is, so how can I coordinate my wants with the wanting of my mate, since both of us are changing?
We are appreciating your acknowledgement that the sexual experience is co-creating. You see, you have emerged into this physical environment with many others because you know the joy of co-creating. As you are offering thoughts, your thoughts are magnetic, and those thoughts attract other thoughts. But when two minds come together that are in harmony upon one topic, those two minds equal much more than one plus one. And in like manner, when two physical beings come together that are harmonious in thought and desire, then the physical experience can be extraordinary, much more satisfying than that which would be experienced if there were but one.
Abraham, I would like to kind of pass some questions on to you for the listeners, some real, what I call meat and potatoes stuff, real life examples that are happening with people, and I'd like to hear your solutions relative to the principles and the laws and the techniques that and processes that you've been teaching us. Okay, here's a call from a young lady, and she said, my mother and I are, both of us are uncomfortable with sex. We're uncomfortable hearing about it or seeing it on TV or participating in it. It's just, she says, so as a result of my mother being that way and me growing that way today, I have a fear of sex anytime my mate even touches me. You know, I want a good marriage, but how can I enjoy this sensual part of the touching part without this fear that it'll push on into the sexual part?
What you are offering here in this example is two beings that hold different intentions. One of them wants something and the other one clearly does not. Right. And we do not encourage moving forward under those conditions. In other words, to move forward when you are feeling that negative emotion within you only has added to her concern. In other words, the way she is feeling right now is as a result of having moved forward again and again from a position of not wanting. And the reason that she is feeling this tremendous resistance is because she is believing that participation in sexual behavior is not in harmony with being good. Mm. And what she wants so very much is to be good. What we are encouraging is not taking any action for a time, but spending some time finding that centered place of feeling good. In other words, it is necessary that this one find her place of appreciating herself, find her place of realizing that she is good, and find her place of realizing that that which is physical about her and that which is sensual about her is good also. Sometimes your questions sound a little bit to us like this: Abraham, I am in an airplane at 20,000 feet and I have just jumped out of the airplane and I have no parachute. Now what do you suggest that I do? And the reason that we're having a little fun with this here is because what we are wanting you to understand is that all of you got to where you are through a series of decisions and through a series of offering of thought. Mm-hmm. But you are never in a place, really, where you are plummeting to the ground without options. It is that so often you believe that there must be an action that you can take and that the action must fix it. And in this case, no action seems appropriate. In other words, for her to refuse the intimacy with her mate, leaves her in a place of lack also, because he is not happy about that. And to go forward with the action does not seem appropriate, because that leaves her in a place of not feeling good. And so what we are wanting to point out here is that there are many instances where no action is appropriate, but that does not mean that you do not have somewhere to turn. And what we would encourage that this one do is spend some time focusing upon how she is wanting to feel. Spend some time focusing upon her appreciation from her mate, aside from the sexual encounter. Spend some time looking for her own positive aspects and the positive aspects of her partner. Spend some time looking for reasons to feel good about life in general. And from that place of just feeling better, she will resonate more powerfully with her own inner being. And from that place of pure resonating with her own inner being, she will not feel so much resistance to anything, not to life, not to this action, not to anything. And then from that freer perspective, she will find her place of greater action, you see.
Mm-hmm. Abraham, before meeting you, I kind of looked at life in the sense of the word like I was moving along a path, and this path had branches all the time. It kept forking this way and that way, and I could choose to go to the left one or the right one, and so on and so forth. But then if I got to a point in life where things didn't feel right, then I would try to get back to the last fork in the road and maybe consider going the other way. In other words, I always felt I could go out the same door I came in, so to speak, as far as problems. But now after talking to you, it seems like you're saying I don't have to double back. I could just start fresh right here on this point on the path, and then...
Really, we are talking about the same thing, because when we talk about finding your balance or drawing backward or inward to your state of beingness, in a sense, it is like backing up to that fork in the road.
Oh, okay.
You are so action-oriented as physical creatures and believing so much that your action must fix everything. And what we are so much wanting you to understand is that action taken from a place of lack is always counterproductive. And so back up your path a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Back up from your decision a little bit. While you often do not know what to do, you always know how you want to feel. And if you will start with that feeling place,
good,
then you have backed up the path, and then the options would be much clearer to you.
Now, on the other side of the question about the young lady who called you, there was a gentleman that called you a while back, and he said something like, for the first 3 months of our marriage, he said, my wife and I had sex 3 or 4 times each day. But now after a few years, it's actually reached the point that sex, the activity, is distasteful to my wife. And so if I don't make it happen, it just doesn't happen. And she's not interested in any form of mental stimulation, like words or films or books or anything. She won't allow anything that would shift her focus in that direction for any period of time. And I wouldn't want to have sex with her if she doesn't enjoy it, because it's not pleasurable for me if it's not pleasurable for her. So my question would be to you, what thoughts must I change in order to change the experience that I'm having in this particular case?
Your asker of this question is a true co-creator, for he is recognizing that he does not find pleasure in moving forward unless the counterpart of his co-creation is finding pleasure also.
Right.
And that is a very good thing. Let's talk about it. Here are two beings. Let us say she is working at one place and he is working another. And each of them are offering thought all through the day. And so by virtue of the thought that they are holding, each of them are coming to a different place.
Right.
Now the day is done and they bring themselves through action together. But they are two beings who, while they are joined in a marriage, while they are joined in commitment, while they are joined in all sorts of obligations, they are in this moment not joined in thought.
Right.
In other words, they are coming from two different directions. And so to expect the other one to be right there where you are, wanting precisely what you want, is really asking a great deal. And so what we would encourage is that you do some pre-paving, psychically, mentally, reach out to your mate during the day with your thoughts of appreciation and your thoughts of approval. And when you come together, say words to one another that bring each other to the point of harmony. In other words, look for the positive aspects in her. Look for the positive aspects in yourself. Even if she's not at the place at seeing them in you, look for them anyway. Look for reasons to feel good. Because when you're feeling good, you are oozing or radiating positive energy. And that positive energy is literally reaching out and evoking it from the other.
Mm-hmm.
what we have observed with most is that they want something that another doesn't want, and so they notice that the other isn't wanting, and that makes them feel lack. And then as they are oozing their feeling of disappointment, as they are feeling the lack, then they make their demands, and then they wonder why the other is getting more resistant and further away. And so the key to all of this, the key to having a happier life experience, the key to having fuller, more satisfying co-creation on all levels, and the key to having more pleasurable, harmonious sexual interaction is to more of the time look for reasons to feel good. Look for the positive aspects of your beingness. Look for the positive aspects of your partner. Look for the positive aspects of life in general, and see if you do not find yourself feeling more in harmony with self. You see, you can act under any and all conditions. There are only two motivations to act. One is inspiration from your place of lack, and that is usually angry, frustrated action, and it always makes things worse. And the other is action that is motivated from your pure desire, from your positive wanting. And so your friend is very wise when he says, even though I am really wanting it, I am really wanting to taste the deliciousness of my partner, I am not wanting to move forward if she is not wanting to. And what we say to him is, by focusing upon your own positive aspects, and upon her positive aspects, you will evoke from her her own harmony with self. And when she has found her harmony with herself, it is our absolute promise to you that this very balanced and very wonderful sexual wanting will come forth from her. And together you will have an extraordinary experience. Even that which you would consider to be ecstasy. And so perhaps you are understanding as you are hearing these words that there is not always that which is right or that which is wrong, but there is that which is appropriate or inappropriate unto you in this moment. And the way for you to know whether your action or your contemplated action is in harmony with your greater wanting, you have only to pay attention to the way that you are feeling. It is our absolute promise to you that if it is your desire to be of value and to do that which is of uplifting nature or praiseworthy, or to be in a place that you would consider to be right or righteous, that you have only to pay attention to the way that you are feeling. And little by little, you will be able to sort out what is appropriate or inappropriate for you. Do not try to figure it out for the others, because you cannot, just for you. The most fantastic co-creating always comes from two beings who are each in harmony with self. And so rather than focusing upon somebody else not being in harmony, your first order of the day is to find your own place of harmony. And so our encouragement to you is, look for more reasons to feel good as an individual. And you will evoke reasons for to feel good in your partner, and then together you will have more satisfying experience. We've enjoyed very much this interaction.
Yes.
There is great love here for you.
Thank you.
We are complete.